Well, I sure appreciate those songs. I want to be on the winning side. Someone said to me one time, I think you let me win that game. And I said, don't you even think it. I want to win. Now, I don't keep anybody else from winning. I want us all to win. But if I'm playing you a game, I'm going to win if I can. And I'm going to win this race if I can.
Yes.
So I want to be on the winning side of this.
Yes.
Well, I believe we can be.
Yes.
I don't believe that it's because we're intelligent or because of any greatness or goodness or anything that we do or that we can accomplish. But I believe every honest and sincere heart can go to heaven.
Yes.
I think God will make sure they do. And that is the best of all. We need to keep ourselves in the Lord, and the Lord will take us. We'll find places in our life. I found those places to where the Lord wanted to do something with me, change me, help me. I didn't even realize that I needed it, but I was sincere. And the Lord brought those things into the place that they could be dealt with. So today, the scripture, Jesus was talking about describing the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. And he said of that final place that the seed fell on, that place, he said of the good ground was that good and honest heart. That was where God was able to work. And I believe that's profitable to us today, to realize I need to cultivate my heart for God. I need to be sincere about what I'm doing. I need to be honest before God, myself, and all people. And that'll give me an access to something God can do that I can't do for myself.
Yes.
So I appreciate that, and Lord, today. I have a thought. I want to start in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. It says, doth not wisdom cry? That's a question, but it's not a question that has any more than one answer. The answer was already given in the question. The question, doth not wisdom cry? Of course it does. That's the answer is of course wisdom cries, but you have to be listening to wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the cities, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. This scripture starts out and it brings wisdom and it personifies it. It puts it into a character. Okay, and for us to understand, and says that wisdom is someone that's crying out to you all the time. I feel like that's true. I've lived enough life to know that if you are paying attention, it's not hard to understand some of these things. I want to give you my simple definition of what's workable for me with the word wisdom. Wisdom to me it's very simple. It's to have an understanding of the results of your actions. And that's pretty much simply what it is. I was out here a few years ago, and the National Weather Service was saying, I believe it was on Monday, that there was a great possibility of some really severe storms. One of the most severe storm days that they had saw in this area for a long time was going to happen on Friday. Well, Monday was just a pretty day, just like it is today, and there was no indication that I could see or understand, but the National Weather Service was saying that the information that was coming together, that they were seeing, that they've seen before, they've worked a long time on it out here, but for a reason. For a reason, they want to be able to tell it, warn people. There was supposed to be a lot of supercells in it, and they was 4 days out. They were starting to say this was going to happen, and I remember thinking, well, that's a prediction, and they're pretty good about that. And I don't know really. I don't understand what all it is that they see of high level, low level, barometer, temperatures, all the things, winds coming in different directions. But they saw enough of it to see it that says that this is going to start forming right here in this area, and this is the way it's going to travel. And they made a prediction, and lo and behold, come Friday, at exactly about the time they said it would start happening, it did start happening. The information that they throwed into it, it was all put into there, and it all began to work, and wisdom spoke in the whole thing. Wisdom was accomplished there. The information that was given in there had an understanding to it, if you understand what I'm saying. And wisdom cries, young people, if you go down a certain path, an inevitable end is there. I mean, we saw it over and over. We saw the storm patterns arise. We saw them do it. This is what's going to happen. We've looked and said, if you start out in this area, and you take off on this, and this is where it's going to end up at. Wisdom says simply this: a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will lead you to poverty. It's pretty obvious that it's going to do it. If you're paying attention to anything, you're going to see that this is where it's going to get you at the end of it. And I think, Lord help us, that we live in a world today. I don't mean to make too much of this. I know it's so grieving to so much. It touches all of us. But the shootings that these young men are doing, we're seeing an extensive violence that's coming forth in our world today. But wisdom's been crying. Wisdom's been crying out that this is going to be, that there's going to be these things. And so I felt like the Lord gave me a little message. I'd like to share it with you today. I think it applies to every one of us. There isn't a single thing that's caused these things to happen. It's a combination. It's a combination of a number of things. There is those that would say it's because of guns. Well, I'm going to tell you, nobody can shoot without a gun, so don't say that it isn't an element, because of course it is an element. But it ain't a very big element. It's only a little element. But there is a lot of elements that's been put into the, I want to call it making a cake. If you've ever done such a thing as that, I've done it. I've made cakes. Every year, I make my wife a carrot cake for her birthday, and I know what it is about that. And I want to say, without boasting or anything like that, it's been successful. The cakes are good, and it's running out. And there's a recipe. Yes. It's a recipe, and I found out that when I followed that recipe, it worked the same every time. The cake was pretty much the same every year. It was the same cake, but I followed the recipe every time. And there's a number of ingredients in the recipe that has to be put in there. And when you get through, the cake is baked. That's final. It's not going to do anything else. But that's there. Years ago, I wouldn't want to embarrass him if he was here, but one of my children one time was endeavoring to make something that called for 1/4 cup cocoa. And they misread it and put 4 cups of cocoa. Now, I want to tell you that 4 cups of cocoa in something is much different than 1/4 cup of cocoa in there. And it was a lot different in the recipe. And you can leave salt out of your recipe. It's not much of an ingredient, but it'll change the outcome of it. I've known many of people to look at it and say, I forgot the baking soda. I didn't put the yeast in that. You know, it ain't a lot, but it changes everything. It really does change everything. In the world today and what we're facing, just this is only using this for an example, folks, but guns is only one little bit of it. Of course, you couldn't shoot without it. But there's a lot of other factors involved in this. It's not just that there's these aggressive video games. That's not all of the ingredients in that, but because hundreds and not thousands of people do it without any inclination to do anything wrong, but it is an ingredient that's put in that, and the fact that there's a looseness about the meaning of life and that human life is important isn't all that there is, because it affects a lot of people, and I don't go around, you don't go around, no, everybody, but it's an ingredient when you start making human life meaningless. And do you know that not having a mom and dad that care for you isn't all of it? People can turn out good, but when you start putting all this ingredients into this society, wisdom's crying at us. And when you get through with all of this, and there's no mother and father, and there's no love, and all of this, and you got this, movies promoting this, and music's promoting this, and all of this, and there's one great big ingredient that makes this cake do this, is that there is no God and there is no consequences. And when you put that all together in the mix, you're going to start having more and more problems. And what do we do to fix such a problem after it's baked in? We have a society that has baked in these things into society, and baked in there that you can do anything you want to. You're God to yourself. There isn't anything else. You can change the identity of who you are. You can be what, all of those crazy things confusing people's minds, and all of those things is starting to be baked into the cake. And now we look and say, what are we going to do about it? You don't do anything about it. It's going to take God to do something about it. And God can do it for... So, I'm not here preaching to the world because they're not here. But I want us to think about something today. The things that we do matter. Do you ever know someone, or maybe you, that got to a place that said, how did I get here? How did my life get here? I never intended to have a path like this. I never intended to be imprisoned, or I never intended to be in this emotional state, or I never intended to get to this place that I'm in. Do you know you got it in there by one ingredient at a time? You got it in there by putting ingredients into your life. I am not going to tell you that you're going to end up some kind of crazed, deep sin person that don't know where you're at because you quit going to service regularly. But it's an ingredient. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be some kind of hideous person because you don't pray regularly. But it's an ingredient. I can say that your marriage is going to be broke up and stuff because you give up on God. But it's an ingredient. And it's like baking a cake, and these ingredients come, and then you end up with whatever it is, it ends up being that. These things are important, and I would say to the young people that are here today, because it's common to speak to young people, because you have so much ahead of you and you got so much time for this stuff to work and be added in there. Don't think that what you watch don't matter. It might matter a little if the other things don't come into a being, but it's an ingredient. It's something that is taking your heart. You may say, well, I enjoy the music I listen to. Yeah, it's not maybe what Jesus would listen to, or it's not what mom and dad thinks right, or whatever. The church probably wouldn't be, really comfortable with that or on that. And it might not make you run off and do anything. But it's an ingredient. It's part of what's going to end up making you what you are. And it's going to be something that's either blessed of the Lord to have goodness in your life, or it's going to be something in your life that's going to be the devil's going to have an inroad into your life. This last week, I really dealt with, well, about 3 weeks, but this last week particularly, I've been in a real place because I'm not a computer technician by any means. I hardly know how to even, I'm very clumsy with my fingers, and I'll go to do, you know, the screen stuff on there. I'll hit so many stuff just by, I'm not very adept at anything like that, and I'm thankful that I have some around me that are. But I got into a situation with some of the things to do, and I've had somebody or somebody's chasing me hard. They have broke into everything I've got. They've been trying to get in there. We've stopped them three or four times this way, this way. I got a new message today where my email account was put to some suspicious activity on Instagram, and I don't even have Instagram, but somebody's fishing, trying to get into everything that I'm trying to do. And when you give the devil a little room to get in there, you think he's going to stop at a section of your life. Well, I can just give the devil my music. I can give the devil a little bit of area right here. You know he's going to infiltrate everything in your life. And the ingredients that we put into our life, Lord, help us, because the ingredient, wisdom cries these things. If we can understand systems of the weather to be able to predict in advance, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 days in advance, that these things are coming together to cause something, and you can look at that something, that's wisdom projecting out. You can see what's there and know what the result of those things is. Do you know that the Lord wants us to understand that if we sow seeds, if we sow good seeds, we're going to get good seeds? That's wisdom. It's wisdom to say, if I say a kind word to something, it's going to produce something. There's wisdom in saying that if I have a good heart and a good things, I'm going to get good things back. And it's also wisdom to say, if I go down the line of planting and sowing corrupt seeds, that corruption's going to come back to me. I'm going to be touched by that somewhere along in my life. Wisdom speaks out there against the things that are in this world. I want to say today, don't look at it as the end of it. Look at it, what you're trying, going to happen to your life. Wisdom's crying. If I just, you know, I really don't want to just do this old stuffy church stuff. I want to have fun, you know, it's said, and you get out. And so I wonder what smoking a cigarette's about. Everybody that studied this knows the cigarette is the introduction into all the pathways. No one almost never smokes pot and goes into drugs until they get the gateway. You get the gateway through, and you get into the gateway. Wisdom says that everything's coming together. You're rebelling against the good things. You're resisting the good things. You're wanting something in the flesh. All these things are coming together into a perfect storm of your life, and that's what you're baking in your life. The warning is that you can bake a good cake. I want to tell you, you can bake some good things into your life. You can begin to appreciate the good things. Put the good things in there. Resist the bad things. There's a character in the scriptures, King Saul. I don't, in my wildest imagination, think that King Saul could have actually said, boy, this is what I want in my life. You know, it's going to be a real thrill to be plagued by an evil spirit and go chasing after witches, and this is where I'm going to end up. I think at one point in Saul's life, he would have said, that's repulsive. That's repulsive. It's evil. And I'd never want to go that way. So how did he get there? How did King Saul end up? Was it just the incident to where he refused to kill Agag and the king of... I mean, was that the only thing that... No, it wasn't. King Saul went from a humble man to a man that wasn't humble. He went to start taking on things in his life. He began to, remember, he didn't wait on the prophet. He stepped into an area that he wasn't supposed to step into. He became disobedient. He became proud. He put things into his life. He didn't, these things he wanted. He wanted to get the sacrifice. He wanted to get the battle. He wanted those things, but he didn't want the things that was going to follow. But wisdom should have been crying. Wisdom cries things like this. Young man, don't go down on the corner street. Young man, don't go pass by that street. Well, wait a minute. I've got strength enough. I'm spiritual enough. I'm good enough. I've got it all together enough that I can walk by that street. You watch me do it.
And the first time, maybe you walked right on by. Now I'm confident enough, I can walk by there anytime I want to. Young man, don't walk by that street. There's things you don't need to be looking at. There's things that's going to draw you away. And wisdom cries, young man, don't go down there where they're like that. Don't go into that area. You're putting the recipe into your cake that's going to change your cake. I remember one time somebody used a cup of salt in their Kool-Aid instead of sugar. Well, they're both white. The measurement was the same. It looked the same. You know what that tasted like? It wasn't even close to what it was supposed to be. And it turned something that was supposed to be enjoyable. That's what it is, no matter what you think of Kool-Aid. That's what the point is. Refreshing cold drink, sweet. And it turned it into an intolerable, an unuseful, something that could only be discarded, thrown away, unless you wanted to dye your socks with it or something. There's no use in it. It's purposeless. And it's what happens in life with an ingredient that we put into our life. King Saul never, surely he never stopped and said, I want to end my life in this kind of way. You remember how he died? You remember how the whole thing of King Saul was? You remember how David wept over and how the mighty men have fallen? King Saul, the mighty man, the man that people once looked up to, the first king of Israel, all those things that he had on him. Look at him. Look at him. How did he get there? I thank God for redemption. I thank God for repentance. I thank God that the slate board on every day can be cleaned. That we have a merciful God that will change the course of our life. You find yourself, you put some things in your cake. I'm glad it's not hopeless. Amen. But even the greatest of them, King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. He had the credentials. He had done so much, and he was in such a place. All the scripture tells us that he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he falls. There's no stopping. There's no place not to be humble. There's no place not to look to God's wisdom and keep. Actually, the Bible says that if any man lack wisdom, to ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. If you don't know, it's okay with God. God can teach us. But there was another man named David who, surely David, the great King David, with the heart of God, didn't one day say, yeah, I want a part of my story how I killed a man and I took his wife and I done all this hideous thing. Surely he never put that in the program. What he put in his program was a little bit of indifference. What he put into his program was not being where God wanted him to be, where he was supposed to be. And when the kings went out to war, David was in his house. And in the evening time, he gets off of his bed. And I looked into that to see if it's cultural. And I think there was a little culture involved in that, because in my culture, there ain't no reason for a young man or a man to be on his bed in the evening, in the afternoon. Get out there and do something. Make yourself useful. But he was in there sleeping or whatever he was doing, and he got up and he was in a position, totally in a position, and he started putting the ingredients before all of that. Folks, he fell into the temptation because he was in a place. He was out of God. He started putting it. Well, you say, well, you mean one little snap in the middle of the day will hurt me? No, not at all. But it's just the ingredients. When you get indifferent and lazy about things and the whole, it becomes a pattern of stuff. And now David's in a place to where the prophet has to come to him. What a place to be in. David, the one that killed the giant. The one that the women, remember the women danced and said, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And he was honored and lifted up and God used him and all of these things. And here's the man that had one of the most hideous black marks in the scriptures. He baked a cake. He baked it by putting ingredients in it. Wait a minute, David. You was the psalmist. You sung the psalms. Rejoice in the Lord. You wrote, I love thy law, O God. So, you got that? You think you got it and you can't fall today? Oh, it won't be because some gigantic temptation comes by to pull you out into some deep sin of drugs. It'll be the temptation that you don't go to service. that you don't pray, that you aren't faithful, that you don't give yourself totally to the work of God, that you're dishonest about yourself and who you are, and not willing to say that's a failure of me. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm floundering here. Lord, help me. You know, there is I know not everything should be said, and I'm not saying that we should get up here and say things as discouraged or anything like that. But you know, the scripture teaches us to confess our faults one to another. Why? That we might be healed. That there is power in that, and that's a statement of my vulnerability. I am not God. I am not big. I am anything. Folks, I got troubles in my life. I need you to pray for me to help me. And it's a sincerity. When I get down to I'm really sincere, I must go to heaven. I get sincere about it. Then I'll say, brother, I got a problem. Well, Brother Marty, you've been preaching for a long time. They have a problem. Yeah. That's right. And I can get problems. Yes. Pray for me. Yes. Help me. You know, that's what really, we ain't supposed to be big in anything. We know the one that is. We know Jesus can help us in everything. I believe in living a good life in God. I believe in a sin free. I believe God can keep us. I believe we have to give ourselves totally to Him. Yes. For Him to be able to do that. So, I just want us to realize that the wisdom that's crying is crying. It has cried to our world. Don't take God out of things. People that have never fared well. Don't take morality out of your life. Everybody that has failed and went down. Every society that's went against these things have crumbled and fell. You will too. Wisdom cries. Don't go that way. Don't do those things. Young people, I know I've seen it over and over in my life of this. There's a certain age there that there wants to be something more than there is. And to me, it's always been this way. If you don't have a good hold on God, the mediocre experience of religion does not compare to the flash and shine of the world. It just doesn't work. And I've said this many times, but it's my illustration. I like it. It's a Bible illustration. But I like the illustration of the children of Israel comparing the food groups. Because that to me was so... They're out there in the wilderness eating manna. And I've seen two different descriptions in there about them. One was a little bit more pleasant than others, like a honey wafer or something, but a wafer. But the illustration is that you get up in the morning with the great excitement of eating a honey wafer. Then you, lunchtime, what's for lunch? We got some honey wafers. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that manna had everything in it, everything, for perfect health. But it still tasted like a honey wafer. And coriander seed. And you eat it for lunch. And the first day, that goes pretty well. And at supper, you know, you had to get it every day, but you eat the supper. And I imagine if you got a little hungry before midnight that you got honey wafer, manna. First day, wouldn't have been no trouble. Second day, third day. I don't know that you could eat your favorite food, what you really like, for 40 years, every day, and only that. And they started saying, boy, back here in Egypt, they was leeks and garlics, spices, melons. Give us that back over there. Do you know that was a foul, that was a wrong comparison? Canaan was flowing with milk and honey and pomegranates and grapes on staves. They were comparing an experience that they got themselves into that wasn't plan A. They're supposed to be in the Canaan land. And I want to say to us today, a life given to God is exciting, if I can use that word. It is fulfilling to the most degree. It's righteous. It gives you point. It gives you that.
In the wilderness, you roam. In Canaan, when you start comparing Canaan with Egypt, where I have freedom, there's no bondage with the leek and garlic, Brother Ivan. I have freedom. I have all of this over here in this land. And the comparison between this land and this land is stark. Jesus outshines the world. It makes it pale in comparison. But it's only when you have a real heart, you give yourself totally to the Lord, does it work. And God knows that it only works in that kind of dedications. And in the wilderness, there will always be a longing for something else. And the only thing many times is to look back, because many times you can't see and taste the Canaan, but you can know what once, oh, I remember I had fun. Or remember I was something there, or something there. I'm going to tell you, wisdom's crying. To wisdom still stands in the streets. It still stands at the gate in the places of concourse where people talk and do those kind of things and all that. And the more you listen, the more you listen to those that are intelligent and thinking and all that, the more you put your hand, your face in your hands and say, oh, God, help us. We are completely missing the whole point of the whole thing. And we go further and further into our secular world. Secular things, secular world. And the more we go, the farther off we have with the mental problems of people. It's going to become epidemic. The more we go into the violence, people are becoming more vicious. Becoming more harsh. But wisdom's already said it. In the last day, perilous times would come. Read that. And what would they be? Unthankful, unholy? What was the word? Vicious? Or the men's hearts would become like animals. But wisdom's crying to us. Well, again, we can't do anything about the world. We're living in it. God will keep us in it. I am convinced God will keep his people in there. But you have to be his people. And that's what my burden is today, that we would realize that what we put into our life matters. It matters. The little things matter. Sometimes there's just enough poison in your life to make you miserable within your experience. And sometimes there's more poison in there to make you almost just hanging on. And sometimes there's a good death experience right there because of the things that was put in there, the things that changes. You know, after a while, it's really hard to have faith. It's really, really hard to really believe God. Do you know that God is faithful? Now, God is faithful. The problem in the program isn't God. God has proclaimed himself and he is exactly that. He is totally faithful. And he will be faithful to anybody that can get to that. The problem is that how do you really come before a holy God, a holy faithful God, when you're unfaithful? How do you really come and express that to God when you're not faithful? It doesn't take much for us to know that and understand that. Many experiences that are not met at the altar isn't because God isn't being faithful. It's because the one coming to give is not coming in a pure heart, an honest heart, a heart that's totally repentant of it, a heart that's really seeking God. And back behind that, there's an element that has to be dealt with. Lord, help us. It will make a big difference what we put into our lives. So I want to say, just like, think of this. You're baking a cake of your life. And one day, you can put the heat to it. Now, what this means is that when it's done, if there's a process of doing this, I don't know it. But I never seen somebody bake a cake and pull it out of the oven, and instead of it being nice, fluffy cake, that it's about this big, and they say, oops, I forgot the yeast. Well, I'll just go ahead and put it in now. I've never known of anything once the cake is baked. You don't change a baked cake. There's a process that happens. And to do this, and then there's a process that, Lord, help us. We want to present
to the Lord when we leave out of here, one that he'll say, well done.
Amen.
Well, that you put into your life the things that I've given. And I want to finish with this scripture. I think it's an important scripture. I did want to mention one thing. I think that was something that I've noticed. I've been dealing a lot with people in different lands, different cross seas and different places. And I saw something in there that was amazing to me in a way. I found that people have a disconnect between their religious lives and the reality of their lives. I can't do no better articulated than hardly other than to say that they're very devout, very devout. They, in many ways, would shame us with their fasting and praying and the things that they do in those senses. But when stuff happens, they have no ability. Do you know living for God is not based on circumstances? We don't serve God we shouldn't serve God just because it's camp meeting time. When you go home and you wake up the next morning, God's still to be a part of our life. And the one thing that was outstanding to me was how they separated their religious function from life. That's not supposed to be. It is our life. God's this, God's that in service. God's mighty. God, worship, worship. You got a big movement now of worship, worship. I believe in worship. And to be honest with you, I long for much more active worship. I'm going to give you my heart. I really do long for us to be more expressive in our worship. God's great. I mean, I long to see a more active worship. I just don't want to do it in a way that it's hypocrisy. I want it to come through the right way. That I love God and I'm doing it for the right reason, not just because I'm taught to do it. We can go through those kind of things and force people and have a real good show. But it does nothing. I want it to come from a reality of your heart that God done so much to me, I want to praise God. Okay? I want it to be a reality. But it's supposed to be more. You can't convince me of anything if you do that in service. Then the next morning, where's God? God's in our lives. We need to have God all the time in our lives. We don't separate out the moments. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He's a present help all the time. And do you think God's pleased for us just to give him attention when we're in trouble? How would you like that, Linda? I mean, honestly, how would you wives like, you know, I need something. That's not very much of a relationship. But Lord help us. And I saw that disconnect and it bothered me. And I want to tell these people. I had one guy actually say this, and I was so impressed, and I am still impressed with him. I'm not being critical. I'm impressed with him. He hit the back country in India, and he took food into these people, and he preached the gospel, and I got to share with him, and we prayed together and these kind of things. And when trouble would hit him, I asked him several times, has God off of his throne, brother? Where's the God you serve? And he made a statement to me and it shocked me. His mother had got sick and he asked for prayer and help and said, brother, we gotta get her this medicine. And we need this money because the only way to get it's to buy it. We need this money. And I said, God's able to heal. And he said, brother, no, the doctor said God wouldn't be able to heal her if she didn't get this medicine. And I'm what? Really? I mean, I didn't even hardly know how. Brother, that's not God.
Amen.
He don't need your help.
Amen. That's right.
He don't need your help.
That's
I want to finish with this scripture. It's definitely in the Bible for a reason. It's familiar, probably a lot in here could quote it, Philippians 4 and 8. It starts with, so, finally, and that is after these statements, but finally. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because that's the spices of the cake I'm making. I want to bake these things in. That when the troubles of life and stuff comes, instead of me sitting and meditating on how I'm going to get even with you, you meditate about it long enough and it's going to come to the forefront when the time comes. This says, here, you're baking the cake, you got all this. Here, throw these spices in. Think about what's good. So somebody done me wrong, now how should I think about this? Well, I hope I get a chance to bless them. Maybe they'll get a flat tire and I can help them change it. Maybe they'll be hungry and I can feed them. Well, you say, well, that's just a bunch of foolish thinking. It might never happen. But if you're going to think on anything, think in the way Jesus thinks. If you're going to have a daydream, daydream that you're coming up somebody. Not that makes you feel big or you're some big thing, but think on them because you love them, because there's a care for them. Think about it. If there's any good report, if there's a good thing, those kind of things, think on those kind of things. I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to try to come in. If he don't come into you today, I don't know. But he'll come in today and get you to think something that you shouldn't be thinking. This scripture is simply saying, in your life, you know, there is all kind of songs out in this world. Surely there's some of them that you'd like that says good things. And you may say, well, I don't know about this. But you'd have to realize that it's only one little ingredient to say that I really enjoy that honky-tonk song. I enjoy that song talking about them cheating. Well, it ain't much, but it is something. And when you get enough of somethings together, you've altered the whole cake. And after a while, you're going to be saying, how did I get here? And you'll never be, hardly ever be able to get back and say, right, here's what it was, because there isn't one. There's this. I quit going to service. I quit doing this. I didn't do this. I had an opportunity to help them. I didn't help them. I had an opportunity to be with the Lord and understand the Lord. I could have read my Bible. All this and mixed together, and all of a sudden you have a whole different outcome of what's in your heart and the way you feel about things. Lord, help us today. I want to be faithful to the Lord. The song said, I'm on the winning side. Well, you can sing that. And amen, I will be on the winning side. Yes. But just singing that won't make you on the winning side. There's a lot more to be on the winning side. The winning side, really, it comes down to a fabulous idea. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.